Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Good afternoon to you, Pastor Shuanda.
Good afternoon, and how are you, sir?
Very well, thank you, sir. How are you doing?
I'm quite well.
Lovely, lovely. Great to hear from you this afternoon. I do hope that your day has been well spent so far.
Yes, it has been so.
Lovely, lovely. We are gearing up together to talk about nurturing spiritual intimacy in marriage. And those who are joining us for the first time today, you may not know, Pastor Shuanda has been talking to us in our Scripture in Motion segment, talking to us about nurturing spiritual intimacy in marriage. My goodness, he has actually shared some serious gems. I've learned, personally learned quite a bit. I do hope that if you're joining us for the first time, you also, like me, will be learning quite a bit. And we're talking about spiritual growth and intimacy. And like anything else, it takes time and commitment. It is more about training than actually trying. And just like the scripture says, you will reap what you sow, according to Galatians 6. But let's face it, many couples struggle to balance their many individual responsibilities to find time to nurture their spiritual intimacy. That's why today we are going to be talking about that area. Now, Pastor, how can a busy couple find time to develop or rediscover their spiritual intimacy that they may have lost over the years?
Let's talk about introspection. Let each of the couple take a personal introspective analysis of one's own spiritual intimacy with God as a priority area to check. In Psalm 139, verse 23, 24, we read, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts." Verse 24 says, "Point out anything in me that offends you, and lead me along the path of everlasting life." So let each couple ask oneself questions that expose personal weaknesses in this area of intimacy with God. Quickly thought about a few questions.
Yep.
Do I prioritize God and His will in my life? If I don't, why don't I? Do I have time with God and for Him in my life? If I don't have time with God and for Him, why don't I? Do I contemplate God? Do I think of Him? Do I ponder His love, His character, His blessings on me? If I don't, why don't I? Do I communicate with God? Do I pray? Do I allow Him to speak to me through His word? If I don't, how often? If I don't, why don't I? Am I closer to God or more distanced from Him? Do I truly believe in God, and do I truly trust in Him? Am I faithful and loyal to God? Do I keep His commandments? Check your daily, weekly, monthly routines and schedules, and figure out when and how you can make time for spiritual intimacy with God. In the same way, let each of them take a personal introspection about their own spiritual intimacy relating to the spouse and the marriage, by asking also important questions concerning their own marriage, concerning their own romantic relationship. Because in Ecclesiastes 9, verse 9, we read, "Live happily with the woman you love through all the meaningless days of your life. God has given you under the sun. The wife God gives you is your reward for all your earthly toil." And in Hebrews 13, verse 4, we are told, "Give honor to marriage and remain faithful to one another in marriage. God will surely judge people who are immoral and those who commit adultery." So based on this, you can ask yourself questions that expose your personal weaknesses with reference to your husband, to your wife, and to the marriage itself. Do I thank God for giving me my husband or my wife? Do I truly value and appreciate my spouse as God's precious gift to me? How often in a day, in a week, or in a month do I communicate with my wife or with my husband? How much time do I spend with my wife, with my husband, in a day, in a week, in a month? Am I fully committed and wholeheartedly committed to my husband and to my wife? How faithful, loyal, or honest, transparent, and loving am I to my husband or to my wife? If I stand before God for judgment, will he approve me for loving and caring for my spouse? Or will I be condemned for mistreating her or mistreating him? Check areas of your marriage relationship in marital intimacy, romantic intimacy, sexual intimacy, intellectual intimacy, emotional intimacy, spiritual intimacy, and see which areas of weakness you have. Figure out how you will change and improve those areas. Find the time, prioritize that time to spend with your spouse, away from children, away from community, to discuss your own weaknesses, your own strengths in intimacy, in spiritual intimacy, and how you can find time and make time for God and for each other as a couple, so that you can reconnect with God and reconnect with each other. That's how I wanted to look at this particular question.
And I like that you say that first and foremost, really, truly, it takes reflection. And without that, it's not possible to actually accomplish all of the other things that follow that you mentioned. Now, is it possible to have a spiritual intimacy with one's partner without having a personal connection with God? Now, can there be a stronger partner, be a spiritual crutch for the weaker?
I also found that one very tough. The question was a bit tough for me. But let me attempt to answer.
Yeah.
Is it possible to have spiritual intimacy with one's partner without having a personal connection with God? I have two answers. One is no. The other one is yes. No. If both of you have no personal connection with God, because spiritual intimacy presumes and involves a spiritual connection with a divine force or divine energy, a divine being. So if both of you have no connection with God in your marriage relationship, then it might mean zero spiritual intimacy, unless you have another God, which is not our God, which is not the God of heaven. If you have a different God, maybe you can have spiritual intimacy with that other different God. My other second part is yes, yes. It is possible to have a marriage that has spiritual intimacy when at least, and if one spouse in the couple has some connection with God. The spiritually and divinely connected spouse has what is known as the intrinsic religiosity. Intrinsic religiosity resides in the religious beliefs that she has or practices. When these beliefs are in congruence with the life of the believer in God. So if it is the husband who has the intrinsic religiosity, he believes in God and he has a set of beliefs that he orders his life according to, and his life is incongruent with his belief, he practices what he believes, then that's what Jesus calls the salt of the world. You are the salt of the world. You are the light of the world. You are shining in the glory of your heavenly Father. You participate in his character when he says, let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. So the husband or wife who is not connected to God will be enlightened or will be shown over by the God's grace, by the one who has the spiritual connection. So the spouse connected to God defines the spiritual intimacy of the marriage and gives the relationship its spiritual meaning as he or she participates, practices, and demonstrates in his or her own life in the intrinsic religiosity of the faith that he or she holds. So, the other part, yes, a stronger partner can indeed be a spiritual crutch for the spiritually weak spouse. Why do I answer like that? Mm-hmm. It's because what I read from Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 12 to 14, I'll just try to start from anywhere and end anywhere. Paul says, if a Christian man has a wife who is not a believer, and she is willing to continue living with him, he must not leave her. And if a Christian woman has a husband who is not a believer and is willing to continue living with her, she must not leave her. For the Christian wife brings holiness to her marriage, and a Christian husband brings holiness to his marriage. Otherwise, your children would not be holy. But now, they are holy. So when you read these things, you find that spiritual intimacy in what we call an equal relationship, so marriages, is by God's grace a miracle when there is one who is spiritually connected to God and he has intrinsic religiosity, is the one who brings the spiritual intimacy into this unequal family.
Thank you so much. Truly not an easy question indeed. Now tell me, Pastor, what does a lack of spiritual intimacy look like in a marriage? Must be said.
Lack of spiritual intimacy. Lack of spiritual intimacy manifests itself in the challenges to intimacy. One major challenge to intimacy is infidelity, immorality, or sin. When sin is allowed among a couple or between a couple, when sin is allowed, infidelity is allowed, immorality is allowed, it separates them from God, and it also separates them from one another. So the manifestations will be in lack of reciprocity, in sharing innermost aspects of marriage intimacy. They will lack transparency and openness. They'll not be able to trust each other. They'll not be able to respect each other. All these are compromised, diminished, and they are dwindling in the relationship. There will be yawning gaps between the spouses in romantic intimacy. There will be lack of understanding of each other's emotional needs. Love and loving and knowing each other is going to be quite limited. The spouses no longer feel emotionally validated, secure, or cared for. When they try to share feelings, they'll actually be afraid to share feelings, concerns, and fears, or pains and weaknesses. They cannot be communicating at a sharing level because something has happened which has disrupted their intimacy. You know, in marital relationships, they talk about conflict-habituated marriages. So this particular relationship, which lacks spiritual intimacy, degenerates into a conflict-habituated marriage where it is laden with unresolved conflicts and tensions, squabblings and fighting. The spouses are just stressing their differences and incompatibilities. They don't see where they are connecting properly. They also talk about divided marriages. A marriage which doesn't have spiritual intimacy will become devitalized. They will lose their emotional connections. The love will be waning. Loving expressions will be absent. There will be little or no spousal time spent together. There will be less sex enjoyed. sometimes even in no sex at all, both feel dissatisfied and unfulfilled by their marriage. Marriage intimacy, physical intimacy, intellectual intimacy, emotional intimacy are all compromised. And then they also talk about the passive congenial marriages based on no emotions. Each spouse pursues personal interests and life activities that are not aligned with the other spouse or in union with it. The spouse resigns on emotional expectations. They don't expect much of emotional expressions from each other. Mm-hmm. They just live together for convenience, not for marriage at all. The spouse is connected to others more and better than to the spouse. They enjoy time with friends at church, with friends at work, with friends in the business places. But when it comes to their husband and wife, they are not happy with them. So you can see how bad it is. So lack of spiritual intimacy may be so dangerous as to cause the marriage to degenerate into a violent relationship, causing physical, intellectual, and even psychological harm to each other and even to the children. Lack of spiritual intimacy may even meddle with the intimacies so much as to degenerate to a divorced or dead marriage.
Which would be quite a very sad, ending to that particular marriage. Now, what are some things, Pastor, that busy couples can try in order to develop their spiritual intimacy? We do know that in life, the husband would probably take up quite a number of activities. Has got 8 churches under their care. They've got all sorts of other things, marriages that they must do. All sorts of things, preaching appointments and all, to the extent that they're quite busy. The wife also is working on the other side, probably have a senior position, and they come back from home and they need to look at the welfare of the children, homeworks, and this, that, and the other. How do those couples that have quite such busy schedules, how can they develop their spiritual intimacy?
I was just thinking that maybe within their busy schedule, they should try to prioritize the spouse. Find some time to connect with her or with him. It could be electronically, physically, emotionally, intellectually, maritally, romantically, sexually. Find some time. You could send an emoji of some sort, a message, you could just give a short hug, some kisses, visits, some outings during the weekends, some conversations that you can send to each other during your busy time can be quite good, quite encouraging, And then when you have some time, make sure that there is romantic and sexual attachment there. Sharing, you can share touching spirit scripture. You can message a scripture to your husband, to your wife, which encourages them. You can send a spiritual song, some opinion that is inspiring. You can send a short Bible study or take a portion of the Bible book, a Bible that you are reading, a portion, a quotation, and send it there. You can listen to a sermon and pick a part of that sermon that you have enjoyed and send it to them. You see, you can create open dialogue interactions about your spiritual beliefs, values, and experiences. You can keep your conversations short and direct, precise, to the point, and then engage in some spiritual practices during the time that you are together. You can send an appreciation, a gratitude. Just to say, my husband, I really find it hard to be with you, but I appreciate this and that. He will be taken up and say, let me find time for my wife. It is something like that. You can be present to each other in some ways, even though you are distanced or maybe you have short time to be together. You can still show each other. Let's suppose you have come home. You have to be very busy with the children. Just getting into the bedroom for 2 minutes and then kiss each other. It will mean a lot. And then go busy with the children. It means a lot,
Yeah.
Do such things, the small things. You know, I was thinking that maybe we could say, trust your spouse with all your being and make them a priority in your life. Then you can find means and ways of connecting within the business schedule.
That's true. And these are practical, not very easy, yes, but quite practical. not easy at all, but very practical, I must say. Now, can perhaps therapy or counseling help a couple regain their spiritual connection?
Indeed, very truly, it can. Because there are different types of therapy, different types of methods of counseling. Some are psychological, some are behavioral, but I would recommend biblical counseling. And the biblical counseling, we can't say that it's just an area of pastors. No. Because today we talk about intimacy therapy. Intimacy therapy is Bible-based. But it's not only pastors who do it. It's the experts who have learned a lot in intimacy. And they have found that a human being is motivated by a desire to be related to God, to be related to God, and to be related to God intimately, and also a desire to be intimately related to others. So they talk about object relations theory, which says people are motivated by a need to relate to others. People are motivated by a need to relate to others. So some people can be working hard just because they want to find a wife. And they're working hard to prepare for that thing because they're motivated by this to relate to others. And then these intimate therapists, intimate therapists are saying the first person to relate to must be God. Must be God. So if you are relating intimately, the first person, the first other to relate to must be God. So when you relate to God, then it will be easy for all other relationships to fall in place. They also talk about cognitive behavioral theory. In this one, it's a healing process to relational problems, centered on identifying and changing negative thought patterns. So if the couple have been having negative thought patterns about each other, about themselves, then the therapist try to change that thought pattern to positivity so that they begin to think positively. So what I'm trying to say here in short is that the therapists are specialized professionals. They are experts in intimacy. They expertise in giving proper advice and guidance on issues and challenges of intimacy. So their specialized knowledge and their expertise on intimacy gives them tools and techniques which ordinary pastors may not have. We ordinary pastors may not have those tools, those techniques, because we haven't specialized in intimacy. So the individuals and the couple receive a comprehensive approach to intimacy. It improves their emotional intimacy. It provides conflict resolution strategies, and it cultivates empathy through mindfulness training. It gives the sacred meaning and the purpose to their relationship. So these therapies are very, very important. The counselors are very, very important to spiritual intimacy.
Now, lastly, before we let you go, Pastor, what biblical principles can guide a couple in resolving conflicts in a loving and respectful manner? And I think this is a very difficult one for couples.
Bible principles to guide a couple resolve conflicts
in a respectful and loving manner.
I find it also difficult to answer, but because based on the Bible, it became easier. Ephesians 5, verse 22. Wives, submit to your husband as to the Lord. I would advise wives to allow husbands to head the family, to lead. Allow the husband to lead. You are not going to be small. You are not going to be a small wife because you allowed your husband to lead in a certain decision, to lead in a certain thing that we are discussing or that you were not agreeing on. If he leads with his decision and he falls into trouble, he will come back and say, "My wife, I'm sorry. He will apologize."
Mm.
But allow him to lead. Allow the wife, the husband to lead. And Ephesians 5, verse 25 says, "Husband, love your wives as Christ loved the church. He gave up his life for her." So I would say, husband, let's be willing and ready to sacrifice. Let's be willing and ready to die for our wives because we love them. Verse 28, Ephesians 5, verse 25 says, 28, it says, "Husbands, love your wife as you love your own body." Love your wife as you love your own body. You know, the way I love my own body. I don't even want a scratch on my body. So that's how you're going to love your husband, your wife. So see yourself in your wife and say, "She is me, I'm her. In all things, she is me, I'm her. In her weaknesses, they are my weaknesses. In my weaknesses, they are her weaknesses. Anything that concerns my wife belongs to me. Anything that concerns me belongs to her." And then be able to forgive. Jesus says in Mark 11, verse 25, he says, "Forgive each other your sins." So if my wife does something wrong, I just forgive her. I even forgive my wife before she says sorry.
Mm.
And I've seen also that she has learned to forgive me before I even say sorry.
Yeah.
And then 1 Corinthians 1, verse 13, verse 1 to 18, the text we know, love prioritizes the other. It is patient and kind. It is neither proud nor rude. It doesn't demand its own way. It is not irritable. It keeps no record of being wronged. It does not rejoice in injustice. It rejoices when truth wins out. It never gives up. It never loses faith. It is hopeful. It endures in every circumstance. Then let's take these principles to be part of us so that we can render the love that God rendered even on the cross for us in Jesus Christ.
Beautiful one. And Pastor, thank you so much for these lovely, lovely words. I really would have loved to get into that forgiveness one, especially that you are able to, you're suggesting that one should be able to forgive even before the spouse asks for forgiveness. I think it's a beautiful one. And I think that's the one that we can actually, delve into, because forgiveness is not easy. Hence, some say that to forgive is divine and to err, it is human. But hey, Pastor, today I want to thank you so much, excuse me, for coming through. Blessings to you.
Amen. Amen. Blessings to you too, sir.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.